Yeah, I mean, it hit me, and then the bear is on top of me.
I thought this is it, you know, this is how it all ends. You know, maybe for him first, and maybe I'll be next, or maybe I'm just going to be out here with my dead buddy, you know.
That's Micah Nelson. Before him, you hear John Bensel. And my name's Charlie Ebers. John and Micah are some guys I work with on the trail crew in Glacier National Park. We're kind of like the pyramid builders. We dig ditches, build rock walls, clear trees, make the trails accessible to the millions of people who visit this place every summer. I've been working this job for 7 seasons, and in that time, I've heard some good stories. The good ones seem to stick around. There's one where a guy was stretching in his tent in the afternoon, and a bear walked in and he had to push him out. There's another story where 2 trail guys died while trying to climb Rainbow Peak on the 4th of July. It can be dangerous out here at times. John and Micah's contribution to that story tradition happened in the summer of 2015, when they got between a mama grizzly and 2 little cubs. John's a mountain climber. He's short and strong. He's climbed nearly every named mountain in Glacier Park. And Micah? Well, Micah and his family have been in Glacier for a long while. His dad worked on the trail crew, and Micah spent over a decade in the park. He's built like an ox. He's funny. I'd say he's almost got a disarming sense of humor. He kind of just goes with it. I heard their story a day or two after the doctor cleared John to go back to work. We met up 12 miles back on the trail, when both he and Micah were headed in on the 9-day hitch. We sat down a few more times in Missoula the next fall. To be honest, it took us all a long time to fully piece together what amounts to a 10-second grizzly attack. Time slowed down, it sped up. It all started with plans for a pretty epic hike. Here's Micah.
So we're planning to do the Livingston Range Traverse, it's called, from Brown Pass, which is up the North Fork of the Flathead, and leave the trail there, head south along the Continental Divide, and come out around Packers Roost area.
They had a 4 to 5 day trip planned and wanted to climb 10 mountains, but the weather turned nasty cold for a few days, and the mountains outside of my tent had snow one morning. That was the first day of their trip. This is John.
And, pretty big chunk of off trail in there, like maybe 25 or so miles, 30 miles.
What clothes were you guys wearing?
I was wearing some shredded up Carhartt shorts, like my camp shorts, and then my little hiking shoes, mesh hiking shoes, and my cotton hoodie that I've worn every day of trails. I think I got it like the week before I started working trails. I've worn it every single day. So it's, you know, about as thin as 2 sheets of paper. And I had a rain jacket, which is nice. It's not really waterproof, but at least kept the wind down a little bit. Trying to go light with my day pack for a 4 or 5 day trip.
They set up camp about 20 miles from the trailhead after a rainy and cold day. They had hiked about 14 miles of trail around and past Bowman Lake up to a mountain pass. And then they left the trail, climbed their first mountain, and got pushed to an early camp by the weather. First thing the next day, they got up, and the weather was spotty.
I think it was raining pretty hard at that point, rainy, if I recall. Yeah. I don't think it really let up much that day.
But they pushed in further because they were committed at this point. And also, anyone who knows Glacier knows the temperature and weather can go from snow to sun in a half hour, and a day and a half of bad weather could turn into a week's worth of good weather for no logical reason. They were getting close to Red Horn Peak, which has a reputation as the most remote mountaintop in Glacier, the farthest from any road or trail, and they were within reach. This is John.
Pretty much could see our entire route. This was sort of more kind of open talus before it got into the trees and stuff. So
we were looking at the sky, and the, you know, clouds were 40 feet above the ground or something like that, and still howling wind and snowing. And we said, oh, screw it. Let's not climb this thing. You know, let's drop down here and, you know, hunker down these trees. We can at least get in our bivy sacks and try to warm up a little bit. We're getting pretty chilled.
It's hard to give up on a climb. You'll never know when you'll be back to try again. It's usually the last thing you want to do. These guys, like a lot of guys out here, when they tell their story, they'll focus on the details, the kind of ground they're on, the weather, the direction they're looking. But what you really need to know is that they were wet and cold and were just looking for a place to get out of the weather.
The first patch of trees that we walked into, we heard this noise, like, pop, 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 you know, and I was like, oh, that was a weird noise. What was that? And what I remember is immediately seeing these 2 little brown streaks fly past our feet.
I mean, they're tiny. I mean, the kind you want to like cuddle, but as soon as you think that, you're like, oh, where's mom at, you know? And you say, hey, Barry Bear. And mom stands up out of the bushes where these cubs had come from. And instantly she just put it down and charged right at us.
You know, a bear can cover ground like nobody's business, so 20 feet is gone pretty quickly. She got within, I don't know, a foot or two, you know, face to face, and I kind of fell uphill. I like to think that I was diving out of the way all gracefully, but I put John right in the line of fire.
And it happened very fast. I see him manage to spray his bear spray. We're facing the wind, I mean, direct headwind for us, and I see this red cloud just dissipate, blow up into the air and kind of back towards me, and the bear just kept running right through it. The bear still coming right at me, and I didn't have time to get a shot off.
Micah didn't remember spraying, but John remembers the red cloud vividly.
And he is backing up and he trips and, you know, falls into this patch of trees. She blew past him maybe a foot, dug in her front claws, did a quick 180, and off of that 180, just boom, was on top of him. Just pouncing, you know, one bound.
But yeah. It seemed really fast because I turned to see this bear coming back at me and winding up with its right paw, like it's getting ready to club me. Her paw basically, it kind of resembled a catcher's mitt with claws on it. I mean, it was big. Eyes were, I mean, it was so focused. But yeah, I ended up throwing up my left hand and kind of ducking my head, and it hits me right across the, you know, my hand and wrist and head. I remember my helmet rattling.
Definitely saw her like tackle him. It almost looked like she was pinning him to the ground and like gonna give him the typewriter or something, you know, just like right over the top of him. I haven't had that done to me in a long time, not since probably third grade or something, the neighbor kid.
Oh. And I remember closing my eyes and just thinking, I hope this is quick. That's all I could think. And I was just trying to, you know, cover up my neck and face. And I had my backpack on, you know, and that protected my spine, I guess, too. But the bear was on me for a few seconds. And yeah, just, you know, all the bear sounds you think of, you know, when a bear is being aggressive and stuff. I mean, I was at its mercy. There was nothing I was going to do that was going to deter it.
And he's just screaming, like, I'll never forget the look on his face. Sheer terror, man. Like, I've never seen anybody so scared, so horrified. And yeah, everything you learn about or you're told about what you're supposed to do in a situation like this, I don't know, for us anyway, seemed to kind of go out the window. You're like supposed to play dead and, you know, spray the bear spray with the wind at your back. And when you've got a several hundred pound beast on top of you, you're just like, I'm just going to scream and try to protect myself a little bit. But
she might have been on me for 3 or 4 seconds. Yeah. And then she left and actually went back towards in the direction where Micah was.
I got my bear spray out and ran towards them. Sprayed right at, you know, thinking, well, you know, John's going to get some of this, but sorry, man, got to do it, you know? And, yeah, I remember spraying and, you know, it's still howling winds. So I watched the stream go about a foot out from the can and then poof, up in the air, up into my nose. Didn't get it in my eyes somehow, which was really lucky.
So you saw your buddy on the ground and you, with a grizzly bear, an angry grizzly bear on top of him, and you ran to him. Is that what you're telling me?
That's what I remember. That seems stupid, though. I was probably curled up in a ball, just,
So she turned around and left, and I remember Micah walking over to me and putting his hands on my shoulders and looking me right in the eye. He's like, oh my God, dude, are you all right? And I'm just like,
you know, it's pouring rain, so there's water running down the sleeve of his jacket and over his hand, which makes it look like blood is just pouring out of his body, like, by the gallon.
I think it still hadn't I mean, we were just so blown away by what had just happened. And, you know, that whole deal maybe took 10 seconds or so, maybe a few seconds longer, but there were a lot. It was a long 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we look upslope and here's this bear again, maybe 50 or 60 feet above us looking down. She looked like she was going to steamroll us. And
we're bracing for it. And she got within maybe 20 feet and just hit the brakes, slid through the scree a little bit, and then stood up on her back feet and was kind of, you know, kind of growling, barking, whatever. I would have loved to see our faces, man, just terrified, scared little children. And so she stood up a few seconds and kind of growled, barked at us a bit, and then turned around and bolted back into the trees, and we never saw them again after that. You know, we're walking back and we just looked at each other and started cracking up. We're like, holy shit, man, that was fucking crazy. And we just stood there for a minute and just laughed. It was insane.
In Glacier Park, I'm Charlie Ebers.